Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, here we are in Connecting Faith. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate you carving out a bit of time to join with us. And Ryan Thomas there at the controls, as always.
You're welcome.
Looking festive and almost Christmassy. So.
You look good, too. The new haircut, it fits. It goes.
Yes.
It's looking good.
It's an admission that the thinning hair probably looks better shorter than with sort of gaps in the pate. So
it looks very regal.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big fat headphones probably add a little bit to that. So. We are, even though outside our studios at the Mel Johnson Media Center on the University of Northwestern campus, it is a warming up to be a fairly nice day. I'm not sure how it's behaving all around the upper Midwest, but we are just a couple days away from the shortest day of the year.
Yeah.
And yes. Which is, and it's been kind of a cold, and it's been one of those normal winters this winter so far. And, of course, we're not even actually officially to winter until Friday. Right?
We had a season in a slice of the upper Midwest, I think the past 2 weeks, several days ago, were a historical period where we hadn't been that cold for 2 weeks for several decades.
International Falls and, I know, and Duluth. And
it was magical.
Yeah. Well, it's appropriate that on this coming up to the shortest day of the year, when dark and cold seem to bring out the best in us, that we should talk about a wonderful resource called a book called When Life Goes Dark, and the subtitle is Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. And it's not just because our guest is named Dr. Richard Winter that we want to talk with him, because we really do appreciate Dr. Richard Winter. Richard, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be back with you.
We do want to talk a little bit about the topic, because just introduce Dr. Winter, who is a husband and father, a psychotherapist, a counselor, a professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, a native of Britain. He's trained in medicine and psychiatry and has written several books, including Still Bored and A Culture of Entertainment, Perfecting Ourselves to Death, and When Life Goes Dark, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. It's published by University, came out a few years ago. And Dr. Winter, I know that just to maybe kind of reintroduce you to our audience, in the beginning of the book, you talk a little bit about after completing this book, were in therapeutic practice for a number of years, worked at Libri. You describe a series of events following the writing of the book that kind of put you in a depressed state, and I'm just wondering if life-changing events are often the trigger for this, or maybe just tell a bit about your story.
Yeah, well, I wrote this book from my sort of academic knowledge and from my therapy experiences, counseling and doing psychiatry, and little did I dream that the Lord, soon after it was published, the first edition of it, way back, nearly 25 years ago now, that the Lord would say, "You think you know a little about depression? Let me show you." Mm. And it was a time when, very sadly, my sister died in childbirth, which is pretty rare nowadays, and then her husband took his own life just 3 years later on the anniversary of her death. And we had major decisions about their children. And then my wife got cancer. Oh, thankfully, she recovered completely from that. My father-in-law died, and there were difficulties at work, a lot of pressure there. And I found myself sort of spiraling down into this state. I mean, I was still working, and I was teaching and even preaching in the church sometimes and counseling. But there was a sort of deadness in my soul and my heart, and it was hard to laugh, hard to cry, and I found myself just sort of getting more and more heavy and down and dark in my view of life. So it was sort of a combination of grief, of depression, of burnout. And I talked with a good friend who was a psychiatrist, and I actually was on an antidepressant for a while to help me get out of that, and gradually emerged from it again. And then more recently, you know, just a few years ago, a whole combination of events took me down onto the edge of that dark spiral again. And I said to my wife, I feel like I'm going down like a ship. You know, I'm sort of sinking beneath the surface of the ocean. And unless something happens to stop this, I'm going to be in a bad place. And thankfully, again, I didn't get way down. But it gave me a lot more sympathy for people who go into serious, severe, what we call clinical depression, as I subjectively was certainly on the edge of that, if not part of the way down. And some people go much, much further down where they're completely paralyzed by it. So that was, and so I feel I'm a lot more empathic now and can understand a little more of the internal experience.
Well, let me just at this point say I want to open up the phone lines because we do want this program to be a time of hope and encouragement. The subtitle of the book, Dr. Winter, is called Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. But if you have maybe look at this season as a difficult time or have been going through a difficult time or someone in your family is and you'd just like to know, you know, what can I do? Are there some things that I can offer in way of encouragement? You're welcome to give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Prefer to remain anonymous, you can do so. You can drop us a note if that's more convenient. It's myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's a email link there. You talked a little bit, Richard, about sort of a deadness in your soul. Is that sort of a working definition of depression? What do we mean by depression? I mean, how is it different from, I guess, sadness or grief or those things?
Yeah, that's a very important distinction because not all depression is depression that needs treatment and antidepressants and things like that, although you might get that impression from seeing some of the commercials on television. But I think, you know, there's just ordinary blues, ordinary feeling down, sad, discouraged, disappointed, and we all go through that up and down from day to day. But there are times when some people, you know, they lose their appetite, they find it difficult to eat, they can't sleep well without having very broken nights, often waking very early in the morning and with a lot of negative thoughts swimming around in their heads. And they may find it really difficult to concentrate. They may not even want to get up in the morning. They just want to stay in bed. And so they feel very tired. And down, and sometimes tearful, sometimes beyond tears, and then even to the point of thinking life is not worth living and I want to end my life. That's getting really deep into depression. So there's a whole sort of spectrum from mild depression to very severe and a lot in between. And then grief, of course, when we lose people, we lose things that are really important to us when our dreams don't work out the way we'd hoped and expected. Then, too, we can get something that feels like depression and sometimes goes into depression, but is just the deep sense of loss and sadness, which comes from living in a fallen world where bad things happen to good people and we lose, you know, precious things and people. And grief, or it usually comes in waves, you know, and you know pretty clearly what it's about and why you're feeling that way. Whereas depression is usually much more constant, and sometimes we're not quite sure because it's an accumulation of many different difficult experiences that cause us to get down into deeper depression.
I suppose even as you were saying, you were talking just a moment ago, as you described with your wife, you felt like you were slipping down into a bad place, but there's not necessarily a tipping point or a kind of a tripwire. Is there to say, well, now it's, you know, before it was just winters in the upper Midwest, but now it's, you know, it's moving into something more. Are there some factors or some things that we say, well, this is now become serious?
Well, we usually look for, you know, as a professional in terms of counseling and psychiatry, we usually look for the signs that seem to indicate that there is a change going on, not only in the psyche, but also now in the body as well, so that when there's sleep disturbance and appetite disturbance, and when there are it's difficult to concentrate and decisions become incredibly difficult, it's almost like the brain has gone into a vicious circle itself, and the body is affected. That's often a sign that the depression is getting much more serious. So that's one way of discriminating, but there's no test. It's much more just as I talk with people and I hear their story and listen carefully and ask good questions, I can get a sense of, you know, especially if it's been going on a long time, especially if it's there almost, you know, every hour, every day, that's a pretty good sign that there's something more severe going on.
You mentioned the brain kind of in the vicious cycle. Does the brain actually change? I mean, does being in a state of depression sort of change the way your brain operates?
Yeah, it seems that, you know, there are some people who have a heavy genetic predisposition to depression or maybe bipolar disorder, especially, where it seems that they can click into a depressive state or a manic state, the opposite of depression, for no particular reason. It just sort of happens as part of a change in the body, like any other illness might come upon you. And then for others of us who don't have that strong genetic predisposition, it may be a whole series of events that eventually overwhelm us, and there is a, you know, it's almost like there is a tipping point where it all gets so much that the body begins to react and your brain chemicals begin to change. The brain patterns begin to change. You can see on brain scans that people who are seriously depressed have certain changes in particular areas of the brain that are different from someone who's not depressed. And that's where, you know, the talking treatments help those changes, whether it's counseling or cognitive behavioral therapy is a very popular form of talking treatment. And sometimes medication is necessary to break that vicious circle and bring them back up to a level where they can think more clearly.
We maybe missed the connection there with Richard Winter, so we'll take a quick break here and reconnect in a moment. Dr. Richard Winter is a psychotherapist, counselor, and professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. And he's a native of Britain, and he's living in the U.S. for a number of years since 1992. Books include Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment, Perfecting Ourselves to Death, and the book we're referencing today is called When Life Goes Dark, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. And I want to just offer some encouragement here as we head into the holidays. We'll talk a little bit about holidays as well. Are there some things that we can do to make this season more important and more joyful, perhaps? We'll get to that, Dr. Richard Winter, in just a moment. And by the way, we'd love to have you join the conversation. If there is a question you might have or a comment or just, you know, wonder some things about maybe it's medication or, you know, therapy or whatever it might be. Enjoy the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484.
Real, lasting encouragement for life's ups and downs.
On that day, I turned the radio on, sitting there with no hope left. And this topic came up on co-parenting. I thought, well, now here we go. This is like a sign. What are the odds of this, right? Awesome coaching job. And the prayers and all that and the people that called in. And, I mean, I was driving down the road in tears. I think by tuning in, it puts things in perspective.
Highlighting real hope every day. Faith Radio.
As parents, you always want to know what or who is influencing your children. While most of us have a good handle on this in the real world, Did you ever think about who could be influencing your child online? Zabra is a new way for you to protect and monitor your kids' influences while on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Zabra works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to alert you to potentially harmful conversations on social media. Zabra gives you peace of mind. For more information, visit Zabra.com. That's Zabra.com to get started today.
It's 19 past the hour, and talking today with Dr. Richard Winter, joining us back on Connecting Faith, talking about his wonderful book called When Life Goes Dark, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depressions. Came out from University Press a few years back. We've got three copies that we'd love to be able to give to you. You could read it, find encouragement, maybe give it to a friend. It's a great resource, and you want to join the broadcast or at least just sign up to be in the drawing for the book, feel free to give us a call right now at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Dr. Winter, psychotherapist, a counselor, professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, and written several books, When Life Goes Dark, the title of our discussion today. And Dr. Winter, this is obviously it's holiday season. We hear that, you know, Christmas time and just these holidays can, while everyone seems to be joyful on the surface, not always the case underneath. Do you have some thoughts on maybe how we can approach these gatherings or activities, maybe and not allow sadness to overtake us?
Well, there are so many pressures, Neil, aren't there, around Christmas time, in terms of just expectations of other people and our own expectations of what we should be doing in, you know, buying gifts or celebrating with others or meeting with family. And we often, I think, build up dreams and in our heads ideas of what everything should be like. And then we get very disappointed when it doesn't work out quite that way and when family tensions come in. And we also have the long dark nights, as you mentioned earlier on in your introduction, of the winter time and the weather to contend with, and you know, more traffic around Christmas shopping season, and just a lot of frustrations, I think, and people get pretty exhausted juggling everything. And I guess just how we can help ourselves is perhaps for some people who tend to want to do everything really well and perfectly is to lower their expectations and not feel they have to be perfect for everyone else and get the perfect gift, and just be more and focus more on the importance of relationships rather than things, because so often it becomes a very materialistic season, and the relationships and in our families with our kids, we're rushing hither and thither. I think the relationships are incredibly important. Spending time, having fun with people, doing things, cooking together. I think all of those things are really important. And of course, behind it all, remembering the reason for Christmas and being able to practice gratitude, which for those of us who have rather a pessimistic view of life, we sometimes have to discipline ourselves to practice thankfulness and to think of all the things that we have when there are so many other people in the world who have far less than we do. So those are a few pointers. Sure. I'm sure you have some ideas yourself.
Well, I think you're just talking about that, practicing gratitude, how easy it is just to allow maybe little irritations to just build over time and to, I guess that's part of it. Just things get sort of out of balance and out of perspective, don't they? We suddenly are, you know, we're bothered by the little things when, you know, normally it probably wouldn't have bothered us so much at all before.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think after Christmas, you know, when we, maybe if we're disappointed or if things have gone badly in the family, you know, we often see an upsurge of counseling, people coming to counseling after Thanksgiving and sometimes after Christmas when they've had blow-ups in their families, and then they get depressed and sad and disappointed and hurt. So it can be a time of stress for that reason, too.
You can like to join us, maybe some counsel, some advice, to help a family member or friend or something that you've been wondering about as well. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Dr. Winter, I think, you know, there's still kind of a stigma, isn't there, about Christians that we shouldn't be experiencing depression, that it's not just this season is a season of joy, but that we should be sort of in a perpetual state of joy.
Yeah. I think there's a stigma, sadly. I think it's getting a little bit better, but I think, sadly, both in the secular world and the Christian world, there's still a stigma about psychological problems and mental illness, depression. And for Christians, especially in the church, there are many who, you know, they may have been taught badly, their theology is not good, that Christians should never be depressed. If you're really trusting God and believing and walking with Jesus, then you wouldn't be depressed. You wouldn't be anxious. Whereas, you know, of course, there are many biblical characters, really men of God, that we can see in Scripture who did struggle with times of dejection and grief and depression. And life is hard and difficult, and we're not promised that we'll be completely free from pain and tears and sadness this side of heaven. But there is that expectation, and therefore, often a stigma, as you say.
Do you find maybe comfort in reading about Elijah or Jeremiah or David? I mean, is that a recommendation that if we actually spend time reading some of the Psalms where David seems quite low, that will make a difference for us?
Absolutely. I mean, I found great comfort when I was in my down times in reading the Psalms and reading about Moses and Elijah and and Jonah. These what I call the suicidal saints, each of them, for completely different reasons, got to this end point of saying, Lord, I've had enough, I want to die, take my life. And Job, of course, lamented that he'd ever been born. Jeremiah accused God of abusing him. He says, you chose me, but now you've abandoned me and you're abusing me. So these are wonderfully comforting in recognizing that these men of God went through really difficult times and didn't lose their trust in God, and God dealt with them often very gently. That's one of the things I really like about those stories, is the graceful, gentle way in which God dealt with Moses and, you know, helping him to get to share the burden of leadership. And he left Jonah with the big question, do you have a right to be angry, Jonah? And I think there's often a lot of repressed anger behind depression that we need to deal with. And the Psalms, of course, give us wonderful permission to have all sorts of emotions of sadness, grief, fear, joy. Dancing before the Lord, that David shows that whole range in his prayers, in his responses to God. And often I ask my clients who are struggling with depression to write their own psalm. You know, I say, take Psalm 13 as a model and just write your own psalm about your own struggles. And God loves to hear you speaking honestly to him out of your heart. You don't have to pretend with him.
There's always, I guess, when I look at Psalm 13, only, six little verses, and it sort of feels sometimes like a sitcom that maybe we can't get to the answer in the five verses. I mean, life doesn't always sort of get tied up in a nice bow here in just a few verses.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, the Psalms obviously vary in length, and it's interesting to think, how long did David take to write them, or the other psalmists? Maybe they wrote them over a period of weeks and months. They started the first verse and poured out their tears before God, and then a few weeks later were able to write a bit more. And Psalm 88 is one, too, that I love, because it ends with, "The darkness is my closest friend." And there isn't the relief, there isn't the return to deep trust in God as there is in most of the other Psalms. And I'm glad that one's there, because it often does take a long time to get through that those deep valleys of depression.
We'll talk a bit more about Psalm 88 and more, and take your calls, too. If you have a question, comment, I'd like to join a discussion, we're talking about When Life Goes Dark, the name of the book from Dr. Richard Winter. He's a psychotherapist, counselor, and professor joining us today. The number is 877-933-2484. We've got three copies of Richard's book to give away as well. You can call us. Sign up for that. 877-93-FAITH. Relief from our fears, from our sins, our anxiety, maybe our anger. All those things can be contributing factors as we deal with life in all of its difficulties. And we're talking about When Life Goes Dark today, finding hope in the midst of depression. My guest, Dr. Richard Winter, who is a husband and father, has four grown children, is a psychotherapist, a counselor, professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. He's written several books, and we're getting some great insight today, some encouragement. The subtitle of the book is Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. You are welcome to join us. We've got some copies of the book to give away. If you'd like to add to the program as well, you can call us at 877-933-2484, or you can drop us a note. The email, it's myfaithradio.com, and click on the Connecting Faith show page for the email link, and we'd love to take your question. Dr. Winter, we were just talking here before the break a little bit about Psalm 88, that, as you said, you appreciate the fact that it ends with this verse. You've taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. That's a pretty sobering, a pretty stark psalm. There's not a happy ending in that one.
Right, right. And it's striking for just the honesty that David has with God. You know, almost accusing God of taking the precious people in his life away from him and leaving him in the darkness. And that's what it feels like often when a lot of bad things have happened to us and we can't fully understand what God is up to and where Satan's hand is in things and where we are what's our responsibility in all this. The challenge, of course, in difficult circumstances is to keep trusting and keep obeying him with as much light as we've got in the darkness until we get through it to the other side.
Well, there's one thing to accuse God, and we probably aren't free enough to do that as much as we should, to sort of maybe to lash out in anger toward God, but we probably end up lashing out with anger toward others, right? I mean, isn't that one of the... Maybe that can just add to the depression, because then there's guilt afterwards, probably.
Yeah, I think when we're not free to really speak out our thoughts and feelings to God, but maybe because we don't really trust Him, we often take out the anger that we feel on other people or on ourselves, so that self-destructive behavior can come is often a result of depression, as well as anger and irritation. And that's one of the things that tends to differentiate between the way depression is expressed in men and women, that men tend to express it in their irritability and anger rather than in the more inward and the tearful type of depression.
Speaking of men and women, I mean, there are differences even in the amount or the recurrence. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems that women are more subject to depression than men, about 2-to-1 the ratio. Now that may be slightly misleading in that, you know, maybe we're defining depression slightly differently in men and women. So it appears that more women do than men. But women are certainly more vulnerable biologically in that they tend to get more depressed. Girls do after puberty because of the hormonal changes, and then at the time of their menstrual period, some women get pretty dark and depressed, and the time of menopause, there's a surge in depression, the time of childbirth, after childbirth. So women are more vulnerable to it hormonally, and they're also more vulnerable, I think, because our culture tends to not treat women very well, at least in many cultures of the world. Men tend to abuse women in some way or another.
Talking today with Dr. Richard Winter, the book When Life Goes Dark, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. One of the things that we've not talked about yet is the issue of the medical opportunities or changes for helping to overcome depression. Just alluded to it earlier in the show that, you know, you can't hardly, you know, watch any TV programs without many minutes of advertising for pills of various kinds, you know, whether they be maladies or not. So how do we kind of evaluate, I guess, how much medication should be a part of what we might be experiencing?
Yeah, that's a difficult question, because the research is somewhat contradictory at the moment. But I think if I can summarize it for you as I've watched this over the years, I think there is a place for antidepressants, especially in really severe depression, you know, because to help someone out of that suicidal place, that place where they're completely stuck, unable to think, to concentrate properly, it does seem to help people. But with people who have, with milder depression, I think we should start much more often with, you know, the talking treatments, with counseling, with dietary help, with making sure they get good exercise, because that's the number one sort of self-help treatment for depression, making sure they get good sleep. A recent study came out that you may have seen showed that simple counseling treatment, cognitive behavioral therapy for sleep, in other words, helping people to get better sleep whose sleep is disrupted by depression, actually seems to almost cure people with depression, that just dealing with the sleep alone. So there are a lot of sort of common sense health things that people need to take notice of. And then if that doesn't help, and if the counseling might involve dealing with, you know, anger, lack of forgiveness, perfectionism, guilt, shame, just so many areas of life where we struggle and need help in thinking through, you know, what is the true, what is the good and healthy and godly emotion in a situation when we're experiencing a lot of confusion and anxiety. And so counseling will deal with a lot of that. So depression is a sort of an endpoint of many different things. And so there's a need for many different ways to help people out of it.
You talked about, I mean, sort of that self-help part of it, even like, you know, diet and exercise and sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, those are things that we all can control. I mean, maybe give us a sense, in what way do they make a difference? Is it just, is the body able to, I guess, recover if we treat it properly?
Exactly, yeah. I think when you're eating a lot of junk food and drinking a lot of caffeine and alcohol, your brain is more vulnerable to stress. This is putting it pretty simply. And when you're not getting exercise, you know, your body and your brain get more run down, more vulnerable. Your immune system is depleted. So you're more vulnerable. You can't cope with stress nearly as well. So building up your reserves, and the same way, I think there are certain psychological disciplines that help us, like the discipline of noticing things we're thankful for, rather than always noticing the things that we're complaining about. That too has been shown to be really helpful for people who are depressed. Working on things like anger and forgiveness and the fruits of the spirit of patience and gentleness, and prayer, obviously asking other people to pray for us. Often when we're depressed, we find that it's hard to read the Bible, it's hard to pray. God seems very far away. But as we may need to do that with other people who can help us to get back into that.
Not always easy, I guess, to make that request. I mean, it's probably more likely that another family member or friend or something would observe it in us, right? So should we be, intrusive in that sense and say, hey, can I pray for you? You seem like you're down or not doing very well.
Yeah, I think it's good, I think, to have a sense of care and for each other and not be embarrassed to ask, you know, how are you doing? You look rather low these days, and would you like me to come and pray with you? Would you like someone to talk to about what you're struggling with? Ideally, that should be happening within the body of Christ, within the church, so that people don't need so much to get professional help. But sadly, there are a lot of lonely people who don't have good friendships, who are more isolated, and that's the other thing that can make you more vulnerable to depression, is if you tend to be more isolated. And so making sure you're around other people, making sure you're doing something to help other people who are worse off than yourself, that can be a good thing too.
You know, it's just curious. We were talking a little bit about some of the Psalms, reading them, encouraging just to read David's words. Are there some that we can read because they're so, honest, but mm-hmm. are there some that we should read too? I mean, if we want to actually begin practicing gratitude, I mean, the Psalms are probably, there are some ones there that maybe we should specifically read too, just to realize that, yes, God is good all the time.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there are reminders of truth, reminders of the big picture. Paul talks about the way in which he's sorrowful yet always rejoicing, and holding those two things, that you can be sorrowful, you can be sad, you can be going through tough times, but the big picture is that God is at work in your life and that one day there will be no more tears. And if you can keep that in your head too, then you may be able to discipline yourself to go to the more thankful, joyful Psalms and say, Lord, I'm going to give thanks today. I'm going to praise you for who you are and what you've done in my life. Even though things are really tough and hard, I want to keep that perspective, keep that in view, and not get so self-pitying and inward-looking that I lose sight of you.
Getting some good perspective today from Dr. Richard Winter. We're going to take some calls in a moment and get some questions answered. And if you have a question, we'd welcome you to join the broadcast. We do have some copies of Dr. Winter's book to give away. It'd be a good resource, perhaps help you through some dark times. That's the title of the book, When Life Goes Dark, and the subtitle, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. It's from Dr. Richard Winter, joining us today, who is a psychotherapist, a counselor, and professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary. Our number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. More in a moment.
Faith Radio's mission is to lead people to Christ and nurture you in your spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. We recently connected online with David from Bangladesh.
I'm so glad to have been introduced to MyFaithRadio.com. I like to listen to Faith Radio, which I get through this address online. It's my wish that God will expand His ministry everywhere in the world.
MyFaithRadio.com crosses borders and even oceans. Log on today at MyFaithRadio.com and join the conversation helping to spread the message of Faith Radio.
Ready, set, goals. A new year is a perfect time to reset and aim for a bright future through University of Northwestern's Adult Undergraduate Degree Program. Classes start in January for flexible, practical, Christ-centered degrees in business, health psychology, communication, and more, all designed to give you outstanding value for your time and investment. Visit unwsp.edu, University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Learn, lead, invest, impact.
Rejoice, Emmanuel.
The good news is that it's not just a prophecy yet to be fulfilled. Jesus only will come again, but he has come, and he will come again. And that can give us joy and hope today. We're talking about finding hope in the midst of depression, the book When Life Goes Dark, our topic today with Dr. Richard Winter, who is joining us from Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, and where he is taking a break from grading papers. So we're having, you know, we're lightening his day, or else just sort of piling on for as soon as this program's done. Not sure how that's going to work. So, one of our regular listeners and callers, Patty, had called into the question and said, how can the doctors determine which medication to put you on if you're struggling with depression? This seems like kind of an inexact science. So what would you say?
I would say, Patty, it isn't an exact science. You're absolutely right. And our knowledge is growing gradually, but very slowly. And the doctor usually tries to find one that suits you personally, and your biology, your temperament, and that's by experiment. You have to maybe have to try one or two or three before you get the right one. And then you also try and find the right dose with the least side effects. And that also is a bit of a struggle. So, you know, there are some negative things about taking antidepressants, but when someone's really deep in depression, the positive often outweighs the negative. But it is sort of a juggling act, and it's a mixture of art and science.
Are there other, maybe alternative remedies or kind of home remedies, those kinds of things that have you found things that have shown some signs of helpfulness?
excuse me. Well, the first thing, as I mentioned earlier on, I think exercise is incredibly important. Getting good exercise every day, where your heart is really going, getting the blood circulating to your brain a bit faster, and a healthy diet, not having too much caffeine or sugar, getting regular sleep. And then, there are sort of home remedies that some people, or over the things that you can buy over the counter.
Yeah.
And some of those are helpful, certainly in milder depression, they can be useful, but most of them are not useful for really serious depression.
Just to be wise, I guess that's it's
always you sort of have to be wise, and yeah. The sort of alternative health industry is anxious to sell you all sorts of things, all sorts of supplements and minerals that make a lot of claims, but where there is not often good proof that they do actually do anything.
We're talking about Psalms and getting to we mentioned Psalm 13. You said recommend someone just sort of write out their own Psalm, and they could use Psalm 13 as a example. I guess I'd like to. Is there a way that we can sort of have confidence that we can get to Psalm 16, where it says, made known to me the path of life. You'll fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I mean, for some people, that just seems like, that's just not going to happen in my lifetime.
Right. I think most of us go through periods where we have times that when we're down, when we, like David, we can identify with the depressive psalms, and then other times when we're more joyful. And for some people who struggle with chronic long-term depression and many difficult circumstances, they may only know the fullness of that. And in a way, we will all only know the fullness of that when we're with the Lord in glory. We know it in brief moments and partial times now. But I think it is just, patiently doing a lot of the things that we've talked about, and living in the community of the body of Christ, with people praying for us and supporting us, being open to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God working in our lives, and getting good counsel, and all of those things should help people to move back to a place where they feel their feet are on more solid ground again. But that doesn't mean that they may not have another period, you know, down the road when they go down again. So I think being realistic in life is sort of ups and downs. And I think we see that in Paul's letters, the sorrowful yet always rejoicing, the difficult circumstances he was in, and then the times where things were going really well for him.
And you mentioned the chronic long term, so that, yeah. You know, theoretically someone could be, you know, I mean, maybe even just by temperament, but susceptible over over long term, right? So.
Yeah, they could be. And they may need to be on antidepressants for most of their life, if not all of their life, especially people who suffer with bipolar disorder, where they experience, you know, recurrent depressive episodes, perhaps a manic, one or two manic episodes, perhaps recurrent manic episodes where they're really happy and not sleeping at all and giving away their money in the streets and, you know, out of touch with reality in that way. Those folk need to be on medication all their lives to prevent the ups and downs and to prevent the severity of the dips into depression. So they need careful monitoring, medical help, psychiatric help. And that it's sort of like a chronic disease that anyone has. Like, you know, you have diabetes and you have to keep taking insulin all your life. Something is wrong with the system. It's not the way God intended it to be, but as a result of the fall, the body and the brain are subject to disorders where we need help.
There's nothing wrong with talking with someone in terms of counsel as well. I mean, obviously you're a psychotherapist,
right. So
you've been doing that for years, but I think sometimes we're afraid to just really work through some of those issues.
Right, right. The combination of counseling and antidepressants has been shown to be the most powerful in dealing with severe depression. Some people are near good resources of good Christian counselors, good psychiatrists. We have many in the city here, thankfully. Many of them graduated from our program. But I know that in some cities it's hard to find good Christian counselors, and pastors need to network and find out who they are and perhaps encourage counselors working in a congregation or amongst a congregation.
Good.
You know, Stephen Ministries can be really helpful too.
Yes, good point. Talking to your pastor, or if you have a Stephen's ministry program in your church, use that as a place to start. Richard, we're going to wrap up the show. Just wanted to thank you once again and wish you a Christmas of joy and peace and balance, and that we will be reminded that in the days to come we're going to practice gratitude.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. It's good to talk to you again.
Dr. Richard Winter, husband, father of four grown children, psychotherapist, counselor, and professor of practical theology at Covenant Theological Seminary, St. Louis. I was going to mention too, Richard, too, we had a caller from said, I've struggled with clinical depression for over 20 years, and this is the first Christmas I can see some hope in our situation. So thank you for having Dr. Winter on, and we thank Dr. Richard Winter for joining us today. The book is called When Life Goes Dark, Finding Hope in the Midst of Depression. It's a wonderful resource. We're thankful to have you listening to Connecting Faith. By the way, we put the programs up on podcast, so if you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, and maybe this would be something you could encourage others with, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can see the podcast archives. Got a couple of minutes left before the show, and we've been spending some time over the last few weeks talking about the wonderful outreach from Prison Fellowship called Angel Tree. And for just a few dollars, $12.25, you can make sure that a child receives a gift and the gospel and a message of love from their parents. We've got information up online at myfaithradio.com, but let's take a minute to hear this story.
Michael Carrion, pastor at Promised Land Covenant Church in New York City, the Bronx, shares an Angel Tree story that is very personal.
Let me tell you the story about a little 9-year-old boy. His mom and dad were heroin addicts, and they paid for their habit by taking that little boy and his younger sister up to people's homes, knocking on their doors, and asking for a drink of water for their children. Once inside, a couple would pull out knives and guns. They would begin to tie up and just rob and pillage every apartment they walked into. As you can imagine, the children who were exposed to this life of trauma and violence were damaged goods. They were lost, fearful, broken. The father is arrested. Several weeks after that, so is the mother. The grandparents of these children had rose up as a champion and fought for them not to go into the foster care system. Soon after that, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. There's a tall African-American gentleman there. And he asks the grandmother, "Is Mike and is Letty home?" And as they come to the door, this tall man says, "I know that your mother and father can't be here with you, but they love you. And these gifts are for you. Daddy can't be here. Mommy can't be here. But we want you to know that Jesus is here for you." As this man prayed, he felt a presence come into the hallway of this project building. Years later, this young man goes down the same path that his parents went, finds himself addicted to crack cocaine. He has a friend that tells him, "I'm not going to leave you lost." He's taken to a evangelistic outreach service. As this young man is responding to that call, he remembers the visit of a man in the project hallway. Life changed for this young man. Soon gets involved with the local church and learns that Jesus stepped out of glory and put on humanity so that he would not be lost. My name is Reverend Dr. Michael Carrion, and more than 20 years later, God has continued to work a miracle in my life. That seed planted that day positioned me to respond to the call of Christ, to perpetually serve, to reach out and to evangelize on Rikers Island. We covet your prayers here in the South Bronx. There are so many kids that are lost. Pray for the Angel Tree kids, not only in the South Bronx, but all over the country. I believe that revival will start because of Angel Tree seeds that are planted by the missionaries that will bring the good news.
Pastor Michael Carrion pastors a church right in the neighborhood where his parents were arrested. He also planted 6 churches in the Bronx, with plans for 14 more. Pastor Michael was an Angel Tree kid. This year, there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of little boys just like Mike who could grow up to be dedicated, humble, eager servants in God's kingdom. In every case, it starts with an Angel Tree gift, which means it starts with you.
Help break the cycle with a phone call today at 855-59-ANGEL. Make a gift at 855-59-ANGEL, or you can go on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thank you for partnering with us, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for joining Angel Tree, joining us here on Connecting Faith.